WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic
News.
Media app.
I'm Andy Field. Praise for allowing NATO to expand, with Turkey dropping opposition to signing up Sweden. President Biden at the NATO summit in Lithuania after meeting with Turkey's President Erdogan.
This historic summit meeting, we're resolving a lot of things, I hope. And all the more historic by the agreement you reached yesterday and the admission of Sweden.
Parts of Vermont drenched with flash floods. In Montpelier, some waiting more than a day to be rescued from their homes. Tens of millions of Americans facing hot weather warnings from California to Florida. In Miami, water temperature in the mid-90s. The air feels like 110. They've seated a new grand jury today that could decide if former President Trump will face Georgia criminal charges. Fulton County panel will hear evidence about accusations about trying to overturn the 2020 election results. This is ABC News. A massive python is on the loose in Southern California.
Its name is Big Mama, and it got out of its backyard cage in the Chatsworth neighborhood of L.A. Now people living in the area are nervous.
We're just fearful for our lives, actually.
But while humans probably don't have to worry about their safety, Jeffrey Mantagna, owner of a reptile shop, says small animals could fall victim to Big Mama as she slithers around.
Once they get really big, they can eat things like rabbits, they can eat things like pigs, birds.
The snake's owner says he's worried neighbors will overreact and hurt Big Mama if they see her. The black and yellow 15-foot-long snake is somewhere in the area. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
A Michigan jury today decided that Aretha Franklin's handwritten will that was found in a couch after she died is valid. Three different documents led to Franklin's sons going to court to resolve her estate. The sofa will, dated 2014, ruled valid over another in her home with a date 4 years earlier. Andy Field, ABC News.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what Green Bay needs to know. The DNR now says 833 acres have been lost to the fire in Washera County, southeast of Coloma last night. The Pallet Fire is 99% contained. In addition to the natural damage, the fire is also responsible for the destruction of three primary structures and 17 secondary structures. The DNR blames burning debris and high winds for the rapid spread of the flames that forced some to be evacuated. An Escanaba man has been arraigned in the death of 22-year-old Harley Corwin, also of Escanaba. Tavares Jackson was charged with homicide in Delta County District Court yesterday. Corwin, who was 7 months pregnant, was last seen on July 4th. Her body was found in the woods near Ford River Township on Saturday. According to Delta County court documents, Jackson has a history of violence and is also a registered sex offender. Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
Circle Kennel Club in Green Bay reminds listeners of the problems of unwanted and neglected pets. Have your pets spayed or neutered. Get regular checkups and vaccinations, and never leave a pet unattended during extreme weather. Proper care, diet, and grooming will reduce the risks of disease and ensure your pet a healthy life. This from Circle Kennel Club on Circle Drive in Green Bay. Call 920-429-2300. Visit CircleKennelClub.com and like them on Facebook. Looking out for our four-legged friends.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Monday through Friday at 6 p.m.
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Isn't that the truth? They say they want their freedom. But is that really the case? I'm not so sure. My name is Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show, and you are listening to Civic Media. Join the conversation today, 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Really pumped, Evan, because, boy, lots of news. And sales tax news.
It's important.
It's important.
It's important.
And Erica Payne. So that's going to be great. I'm going to be joined again today by my friend, with my friend Erica Payne, who heads up an organization called the Patriotic Millionaires, who has just undertaken what they call the Great Economy Project. And it's a big deal because the core message is you shouldn't be worried about if your neighbor's not sufficiently weeding their lawn if your house is burning down. And in fact, that's the point, right? There's a lot of distraction going on, and it's distraction. So we're not talking about the things that we have in common, which are pretty numerous and pretty basic. But before I get there, you've often heard me talk about performative politics. Of course, there's theater and politics. It's a core element of that. We have orators going back to Greek and Roman times. But when I say performative politics, I don't mean, geez, there's a problem with people who give a good speech or are good, on the handshake lines. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is when politicians engage in behavior and antics that they're clearly doing for only one of basically two reasons. The first one is raw self-aggrandizement. It's just, I want to rapidly promote myself. I don't think I'm getting enough screen time and clicks. I need to do something to draw my attention, draw lots of attention to myself. The other reason, equally basic, is that it is either an exertion or an act that they're undertaking simply to accumulate power. So they'll engage in this like wildly rhetorical, sometimes pretty facially ludicrous positions, or positions that really, if that was the adopted position of the government, would wreak real harm on people. And so it's one of my least favorite things. It's important that we call out both folks on the right and the left when they engage in this what is at base most selfish behavior? Because performative politics is only about one person, the elected official, either feeding ego or just exercising power, trying to accumulate power for power's sake, not an advancement of any worthy policy goal. And today, we're seeing examples on the extreme ends of that spectrum. And the extreme ends of that spectrum are the most debased, self-serving politician ever imaginable that will say and do the most despicable things, so long as it, again, either makes the person look good, feeds ego, or acquires or leverages power simply for power's sake, not in pursuit of any higher ideal or goal. And at the other end of the spectrum is the public servant, is the elected official who will take a vote knowing that it may cost them their next election. But they take that vote and they vote for that thing, even though it may cost them their election, because they know that it will serve their constituents and the larger population of folks, if it happens to be a legislator, the larger body of folks within that jurisdiction that they serve. In other words, the very epitomes of selfless and selfish. And in the news, both today and yesterday, I thought there were prime examples. And I'm going to avoid talking about Donald Trump because he is clearly the poster child for the extreme selfish politician. Right? So here are the two examples. And if you want to join this conversation, 844-967-2789. That's my definition of what performative politics is. What it means, it's in pursuit of only two possible things. It's basically ego and power, often intertwined. So exhibit or example one today. The Milwaukee Common Council took a vote on a 2% sales tax. And it was either do the sales tax or don't do the sales tax. And so the answer to that question should be, well, what are the consequences, all else being equal, of either putting the sales tax on or not doing it? And to whom do those consequences acquire benefits or costs, right? On either side, because they're not neutral choices anymore, right? It's either you're doing this or you're not doing this. It's as black as white as it can possibly get. There's no middle ground. There's no like, well, maybe we can figure out a different way to do it. Like, nope, that's it. Very rarely in government do you get a decision so clearly distilled into only two choices, with here measurable fiscal impacts. Yes, you have to do some projections of things. But for the sake of brevity and simplicity, I'll just put it to you this way. You do the sales tax and the city of Milwaukee continues to exist and function. It makes good on its promises to city employees for their retirement benefits. It continues to fund and provide reasonable benefits for current employees. And oh, it continues to pick up garbage and plow streets and test water. They may do it poorly, but they're doing it, see? Oh, the libraries. Yes, we've closed many of them, but the ones that are still open and standing, yeah, those stay open. The potholes, yes, they're terrible. But between the number zero and some potholes corrected, I'd rather have some than zero. So yeah, the choice was pretty simple. Do the sales tax and the city of Milwaukee continues to exist. Don't do the sales tax and it's bankrupt. Garbage doesn't get picked up. Roads don't get plowed, and I don't mean don't get plowed for a day. I mean just don't get plowed, period. No one ever shows up. That kind of stuff. Libraries? Library, maybe. And absolutely zero local control. Because if you're going through a governmental bankruptcy, yes, someone else is calling the shot. It's called a receiver. So that was the choice. Now, of course, it wasn't survive and we guarantee we thrive. It's a vote to survive. And it's not just a vote to survive. It's a vote to survive while someone still has their boot on our neck. But survive nonetheless. And the vote to vote yes on the sales tax for many was extraordinarily difficult despite the simplicity of the financial equation. Because sales tax are also paid by poor people. And no doubt, this is not a great way for the city to avoid bankruptcy. In fact, it's probably one of the more problematic ways to do so. I could sit here and come up with 100 off the top of my head without any preparation, better ways that the state could have chosen to help save the city. But none of those were on the table today. And many of the policy provisions, yes, you can call them racist. I think a resident called it micromanaging by imbeciles. That would be a fair perspective. But nonetheless, 10 common council members, 12 common council members, 10 were needed. 12 common council members today voted for the sales tax. And I think we all need to give credit where credit is due. These aldermen and women were Jonathan Brostoff, Robert Bauman, Lamont Westmoreland, Khalif Rainey, Jocasta Zamaripa, Laressa Taylor, Michael Murphy, Mark Borkowski, Scott Spiker, Marina Dmitrievich, and Russell Stamper. So that's a model of some selfless elected officials. Those are costly, difficult votes. Some of them may not be elected again. In other words, that will be the last and most important political act of their entire political lives. And they deserve credit for that. But on the other end of the political performative spectrum is what is going on in literally every corner of the GOP. And today I just want to reiterate one of those things because I talked about it yesterday, and that is Senator Tommy Tuberville holding up military promotions, putting our national security at risk. And over the evening time, boy, did he step in it. So when being asked about military readiness, here's someone who's engaging in what he knows cannot stand long term, right? Like these people will eventually get confirmed in their appointments. He's literally trying to extort the Department of Defense into rescinding a paid time off and travel reimbursement policy for women seeking legal health services out of state in which they are based. Here's what he said. When asked if white nationalists are racists and if they're bad and shouldn't be in the military, when informed that white nationalists are indeed racist, Senator Tuberville said, "Well, that's your opinion." Yeah, performative. Disgusting. When we come back, I'm going to talk about how that's manifesting in the House of Representatives. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. Keep it locked here on Civic Media.
Spilled your drink? Quick, the quicker picker-upper. Bounty picks up spills quicker. And each sheet is 2 times more absorbent, so you can use less than the leading ordinary brand. So, you can get back to your night. Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
Web Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows level off around 59 tonight under overcast skies. Winds out of the southeast, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance for scattered storms tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 71. Cloudy skies expected. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 60. Overcast. Temperatures near average Thursday and Friday, with highs from the upper 70s to the low 80s. Storms both days. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 78.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
10 to 12,
As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Town Call.
On WGBW.
WMDX.
I wish I knew. To be free, I wish I could break all the chains holding me. I wish I could say all the things that I should say. Say them loud, say them clear for the whole round world to hear. I wish.
Welcome back, everybody.
I could share.
Evan, you give me a nod if you can hear me and I'm doing well.
Excellent.
Welcome back, everybody. I am Maggie Dawn, and this is The Maggie Dawn Show. Join the conversation if you want to talk about sales tax and argue with me about the merits of that. Love to hear it. 844-967-2789. Some of you may know that I have a day job. I work for Milwaukee County. I'm their chief legal officer. I was in the county proceedings that were going on simultaneously to the city's common council hearing today, listening to questions from supervisors of the county board and then hearing public comment. It was really, really great to hear people engaging with the board. The county's process will continue. There'll be at least another public hearing. And the earliest the county would vote on a 0.4% sales tax would be July 27th. But anyways, I was talking about performative politics, giving props to each of the members of the Common Council today who took the hard vote to do perhaps what is not in their individual political best interests, but what they all knew is in the city's best interests. I would be remiss if I didn't say, you know, we're going to talk with Erica about taxes. And here we're talking about a sales tax, which a lot of people, I think, rightly criticize as regressive, right? Because a sales tax is a flat tax. Everybody, no matter what your income level is, pays it, pays the same rate. And so depending on the scope of exemptions from sales tax, it can be quite a burden on someone who is barely making ends meet. So the city and county, if the county passes it as well, need to do everything in our power to ameliorate that problem. But of course, right at the root here is to talk as if a 2% or 2.4% sales tax is the core of the taxation and working poor problem in this country, is to sort of treat a pimple on a terminal cancer patient. Right? Like, yeah, not good either, but super not the fundamental problem or point. So I look forward to talking to Erica more about that. She'll be joining us at the bottom of the hour. But I was making the point that on the other end of the performative political spectrum, self-aggrandizement, not for any achievable policy objective, but simply for the act of sort of rabble-rousing your base and affirming your credentials. And boy, did Tommy Tuberville succeed to that mission, blocking all these military promotions. But that's what's going on in the Senate, and it is shameful and an absolute problem that apparently no one in the Senate seems capable of managing their own members because they won't get Tuberville to get out of the way. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, that being the House of Representatives of this U.S. Congress, they're having a little bit of problem with that old Freedom Caucus. So I just need to give you a bit of what happened before because most of us missed it. So the very week that the Trump indictment dropped and the subsequent week, this was right after the debt ceiling deal was announced. The House GOP Freedom Caucus basically staged a mutiny on the House floor. And what they refused to do is agree to, quote, House rules, which govern the order and how legislation is going to be argued on the House floor. And so because they refused to do that, not a single piece of legislation was introduced or debated by the House of Representatives for nearly 8 days. And that's pretty extraordinary because it hadn't happened for 21 years. That's how long ago. And so you've got these indicators that, you know, all is not right. And the core of the matter is that the Freedom Caucus is really mad because McCarthy, to get the speaker's chair, which remember that was 3 days of voting, had to promise them certain spending limit caps. But in the debt ceiling deal, the House Freedom Caucus members are claiming that he agreed to higher spending limits than what he had agreed to with the Freedom Caucus when he cut the deal with Biden, because Joe took him to the woodshed. So there's a bit of a dissension in the ranks here. Then we find out that MTG, who sided with McCarthy in the debt ceiling deal, we find that she got kicked out of the Freedom Caucus. So here's where we are. We now have the National Defense Authorization Act, which is like almost $1 trillion in Defense Department spending. It's this huge omnibus bill. It has to get passed. Now the Freedom Caucus is threatening to hold that bill up, to attach potentially thousands of amendments that address all of these distractionary culture war issues. So I want to paint a picture. Here's what's happening in the GOP. This is really bad because there's no clear out on the NDAA for McCarthy. Because if they agree and they put a lot of these amendments in and even one gets through, Democrats can tank bill adoption. Certainly wouldn't pass the Senate. So it's not good because you need the $1 trillion to fund defense spending. So you see how these culture war issues with Tuberville and the House GOP are intersecting, all about performative politics, not about the merits of the bill. So here's what we've got in this order. There was the fight over the chairmanship, the debt ceiling fight, the mutiny and standoff where they stopped House business for a week. MTG gets kicked out, and now they're going to stop the NDAA. You think we might have a government shutdown, folks? Yeah, that's the GOP putting your hard-earned tax dollars to work, and we're going to talk about those next with our good friend, Erica Payne from the Patriotic Millionaires. Keep it locked in. I see you on the line. Keep your questions coming in, 844-967-2789. I'm Maggie Dawn. We'll be back with more in a moment. Well, I
wish I could be. This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Starting at 6 AM, The Mayor and Mino.
Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show.
On WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. Praise for allowing NATO to expand, with Turkey dropping opposition to signing up Sweden. President Biden at the NATO summit in Lithuania after meeting with Turkey's President Erdogan.
This historic summit meeting, we're resolving a lot of things, I hope. And we made all the more historic by the agreement you reached yesterday and the addition of Sweden.
Parts of Vermont drenched with flash floods. In Montpelier, some waiting more than a day to be rescued from their homes. tens of millions of Americans facing hot weather warnings from California to Florida. In Miami, water temperature in the mid-90s. The air feels like 110. They've seated a new grand jury today that could decide if former President Trump will face Georgia criminal charges. Fulton County panel will hear evidence about accusations about trying to overturn the 2020 election results. This is ABC News.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
From the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what Green Bay needs to know.
A quick reaction in a fast food restaurant saves a man's life. According to WFRV News, the incident happened at a Green Bay A&W restaurant when a man had a diabetic seizure. Assistant manager Rachel Lyles and general manager John Coolwin luckily both had backgrounds in the medical field. They responded quickly, administering CPR and giving the man chest compressions while waiting for medical officials to arrive. The man was taken to a hospital and is recovering. If you're thinking about proposing marriage, why not do it at a place that is already famous for leaps? Lambeau Field. A website called Mixbook.com surveyed 3,000 single people and compiled a list of 250 popular spots in America for a wedding proposal. Lambeau Field is the 128th most popular spot to take a knee. Fond du Lac's Lakeside Park was another local destination for lovers, coming in at 191st. Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
Living happily ever after isn't always a reality. If you're over 50 and are considering divorce, attorney Andrea Gage with the Everson Law Firm can provide the guidance you need. Andrea focuses on silver divorces, the kind that get more complicated over time and present unique challenges. A family, multiple properties, significant assets. Andrea and the team at Everson Law have the experience to protect your interests. Call Everson Law to set up an appointment with Andrea today. It's never too late to be happy. Everson Law, 920-435-3734.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Woo-hoo! Starting at 6 AM, the Mayor and Mino.
Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show.
10 to 12,
As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, the Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, the Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Welcome back, everybody. I am Maggie Dawn, and you are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Network. Don't forget to download that app, listen to us crystal clear, and contact me with just one push of a button. Couldn't be any simpler. But you can also call or text us the old-fashioned way, 844-967-2789. Really excited to be joined by my good friend and yours, Erica Payne of the Patriotic Millionaires. Welcome back, Erica.
Thank you.
Well, I'm just, since you're here and Dave from Mequon is on the line, we're going to see what Dave from Mequon, Dave, comment, question, whatever you got for us, please say hi to Erica.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Are you there, Dave? It's me, Margaret.
Hello?
I can't hear Dave.
I can't hear Dave either. Evan, is it just that we can't hear Dave, but you can hear Dave and everybody else can hear Dave?
I don't know. Who can hear Dave?
Well, it's not me and you.
I don't know.
Ah, the perils of live radio. We'll just keep it rolling. So sorry, Dave. We're having a little technical difficulties. If Evan gets it sorted out, we'd love to hear back from you. So welcome back, Erica. Really fun to have you again. And on the eve of such a great event. Tell everybody what's going on.
Yes. So we are so excited. So the Patriotic Millionaires are hosting a meet and greet tomorrow at the Phoenix Center in Richland Center. And it starts, doors open at 5. We've got a fabulous free dinner for everybody at 5:30. We're going to do a presentation about what this project is and what we hope people will do when they participate. And we'll talk a little bit about the economy. So this is the Great Economy launch event, Great Economy Project launch event in Richland Center, Wisconsin. It's our first location that we've done in Wisconsin. Morning Edition on NPR covered the project that we started a few weeks ago. And so we're really excited to come to your neck of the woods, Maggie, and talk to folks across the political spectrum about this crazy economy and how it's rigged against working people. And so we're inviting Republicans, Democrats, independents, and like the biggest constituency of all these days is can't stand any of them.
Yep.
Come on out and we'll give you $50 for your trouble for coming. We'll invite you to apply to the Great Economy Project. And if you're selected for the program, then you'll come to 5 sessions with us, get $50 for each one. We'll do prizes. At the drawing, we'll do drawing for prizes, great prizes tomorrow night. And it should be really fun. Couple of hours of your day. Come see how the economy is rigged and what to do about it.
And those, if you're accepted into the Great Economy Project, you said they do a few sessions. And basically, the sessions are sharing information and having a discussion in a really interesting and engaging way, right?
That's right. I mean, listen, the Patriotic Millionaires have been around for about 13 years, and we've been working really hard with Democrats and Republicans to try to get the economy to a place where working people can have an easier time of it. I mean, right now, working people are working their tails off and not getting much return, and it's getting worse and worse and worse, and the wealthy people, a tiny number of them, are getting richer and richer, and we look at it and think this is a bipartisan problem. It's an American problem. It's not one political party or the other. You can certainly argue about which one you think is doing a better job, but face it, we've had lots of different political parties in charge over the last several years, and things for working people seem to stay about the same while things for the rich folks get, you know, do better and better and better. And Maggie, you were talking about a sales tax that y'all are talking about. This is one of the things that people don't understand about taxes is that when you've got as messed up a system as we have on the federal level, it trickles down on the state level. So you end up having all kinds of problems in your state and local counties and things like that. And when states and localities need to raise money, the option is income tax, sales tax, or fees and fines. And it's easier to do fees and fines than it is to do a sales tax. It's easier to do a sales tax than it is to do an income tax, according to politicians. So if the wealthiest people in the country are not paying their fair share, your parking ticket's going to turn into a $100 parking ticket. Your speeding ticket's going to turn into a $200 speeding ticket. And, you know, that's where we are, and it's time to address it. It's not particularly complicated. And
yeah, the inequities in both sales taxes and fees and fines are so stark to me in so many ways. When you're just talking about what revenue generating options does a government have, and why have we evolved or devolved, as it were, into the place that we are? I mean, everybody can get their head around the idea that a $250 parking ticket that like ratchets up right at these nice regular intervals. So yeah, if you don't have cash on hand, you're punished, right? Can become a life-altering, jail sentence-serving inducing event for someone who is at acute economic risk and is housing and income insecure. But that same $250 ticket for someone who is extraordinarily wealthy, they don't even bother to pay because they just have their accountant call the place once a year and pay them all with all the fees and fines. I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, that's exactly right. But from a marketing place, it kind of makes sense to launch.
Of course.
That's because you can basically say, well, people shouldn't be speeding. And if they didn't speed, then they wouldn't have to pay this money. The issue is that exactly what you said, a ticket for one person is not the same as a ticket for another person. And the reason that we have all of the tickets and fees and fines and sales taxes that we need to generate revenue is because, broadly speaking, politicians of both parties don't want to tax their donors. And so they're not going to put a tax on the people who contribute to their campaigns. And the result, we were working taxes mostly on the federal level because the, you know, the big umbrella structure that's holding this whole thing together is so skewed. But we've got a position right now where we've got, you know, people like Elon Musk, the billionaire, paying basically no taxes and working people paying every bit of tax. We've got Amazon, who I don't know who drives more on America's streets than Amazon.
Right? Like, the most basic infrastructure expenses for local governments, right?
Who drives on a road more? Do I drive more on a road with my one Subaru, you know, we live walking distance to a metro, or do the Amazon drivers? So why is Amazon paying lower taxes, lower federal taxes than I am? There have been years when Amazon has literally paid zero taxes.
Paid
a dollar in taxes last year. You paid more to fix your roads than Amazon does. And this is, I mean, it's a silly way to run a country.
Yeah, it literally makes not a whit of sense, right? It doesn't square with anyone's common sense ideas of fairness.
That's exactly right. And the
Well, we'll just keep going.
Yeah. Well, and the only way to fix it is to look people to set aside the divisions that they have on some social issues and focus on money. I mean, the fact is we live in a democratic capitalist society. The dominant driver of all decisions is money. And when you see a bunch of conversation around things that don't seem to have to do with money, you can rest assured that they
about the money
level have to do about money. And so what I and the Patriotic Millionaires believe is that working people need to get together, really understand how the economy is structured so that they can see how that then affects what they're making. And then let's just work to fix it. I mean, it's a relatively straightforward set of policy solutions. My child is hollering.
Hello, family. We like families here.
To jump on the radio with me.
She's welcome.
She's clearly as outraged by these fees and fines as I am. But anyway, so tomorrow night, 5 o'clock doors open, 5:30, we have dinner. Everybody who comes is going to get $50 just for showing up. The Patriotic Millionaires have a lot of money and they want to spend it
feeding you dinner.
So take advantage of it. You know what I'm saying? And we are really excited. I'll be there tomorrow. And then we've got sessions set up for several weeks coming up. We're going to talk about CEO pay, how these folks just are not worth what they're being paid. We're going to talk about the best and worst states in America to work in. We're going to talk about the basics of rigging the economy through a tax code. And we have some really interesting people coming in. So, you know, I feel like just come on, join us. Don't overthink it.
Yeah, check it out.
Dinner, it's fun. We did it in Whiteville, North Carolina. I'm originally from North Carolina, so I wanted to start it there before I headed up to Wisconsin to see my northern friends. And so anyway, just come on out. It's going to be fun. We're going to have some of our members there coming and some folks from around Richland Center. And so it should be a great time. Do a little bowling. Come over, have supper.
All the good things. Supper with friends, a little information, and some bowling, you know.
And the thing to understand, Maggie, is that you all, like Richland Center, has some of the most powerful people, some of the most powerful voters and constituents in the entire country. Yep. You know, and this is the thing. We tried to pick places where the public debate was really, you know, neck and neck, where we felt like working people needed to understand what was happening so that we can set aside some of this. You know, the funding the police, not funding the police, like whatever people want to talk about on those social.
That's why Whiteville, right? And Richland Center, that's why these places were chosen, because those votes are power votes. Y'all have it in your hands.
That's exactly right. And so we're doing it. And then the third place that we'll go to in September is a place called Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania. And what we're doing in each of these states is we're gathering a cross-partisan group of people, all ages, all different types of people across the political spectrum. And we're going to compensate them $50 a session to come for 5 different sessions. They can come for as many or as few as they want. Learn a little about the economy. We'll serve you dinner every time. We'll give you a little, some cash in your pocket for your trouble. And then we'll see if we can't do something about this. So tomorrow night is the meet and greet where we sort of lay out what the program's going to look like, what we're hoping from people. But mostly we want you to come hang out with us for a couple of hours and talk about the economy. We want to hear what you think about the economy. We want to tell you some of the things that we've learned in all of these years of working to fix it. And then in the meantime, we'll have some supper. We'll do some fun prizes. And it's pretty fun. I mean, it's fun.
Right.
So come on.
That's so there was, I've had moments, right, where I've had the opportunity to actually get somebody talking about some of this stuff, because it really does matter to all of us. And I think even though we may be very frustrated with government, right, and the, ugh, I'm done with it all, we want it to work well, and we want it to work fairly. We want it to check with, like, a common sensibility, you know, right? Like, yes, that makes sense. That, mm-hmm. And it should make sense. And this is the fundamental thing I like to say to anybody who thinks, well, I have to identify myself as a Republican or a Democrat. I said, whatever level of government or however much of it you think there should be, it's going to collect taxes, right? And it's going to run some programs, national defense and whatnot. We can argue about how government spends its money all day long. And no matter what size you want it to be, it should work well, right? For most of us, it should feel like it's working fairly too. And that, I hope, Erica, it sounds like is really at the root of what you're trying to say and approach in this very basic way. It should be fair. We should be able to hold it accountable, meaning government and the systems that it perpetuates.
Well, Maggie, I'll even go a step further. It just shouldn't be stupid. I mean,
you heard it here. I mean, government should not be stupid. I agree. Yes.
And the government shouldn't be stupid. The policymakers should try really hard to, like, use information instead of.
Well, wouldn't that be nifty? That
feeling or the force when they're making choices. But here's the fact of the matter. We have a tax system that values every single dollar a Wall Street investor makes more than every single dollar a working person makes. So even if you and a Wall Street investor make the same amount of money, they will end the year richer than you, because the tax code gives a preferential treatment to the kind of money that they make. Now, the result of that and a whole bunch of other ridiculous things in the tax code is that we have an economic system that's going to guarantee that people in this country become even more unequal, even more quickly over time. We're at 100-year levels of inequality right now, and the whole country is about to fall apart. So I think of it as a game of economic Jenga. People keep on pulling the blocks out of the bottom and out of the middle, loading them on the top. The whole thing's going to fall down. And the only thing that's going to make this thing work is if sensible people across the political aisle sit down and have some conversations about the one thing that is at the heart of a capitalist democracy, which is money. And the patriotic millionaires want to facilitate that conversation in Richland Center. So we hope people will come out tomorrow night and join us.
I sure do too. Thank you, Erica Payne. It's always a pleasure to have you. I hope you continue to grace us with your informed presence. It's my pleasure to have you. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on Civic Media. I've got some thoughts on some more lighthearted topics when we come back after the break. Keep it locked. Join the convo, 844-967-2789. Who could ever reach me? For the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me. For the son of a preacher man. We recovered.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows level off around 59 tonight under cloudy skies. Southeasterly winds, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy skies again tomorrow. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. High temperatures reach up to 71. Chance for scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 60. Cloudy skies. Temperatures near average Thursday and Friday with highs from the upper 70s to the low 80s. Thunderstorms possible both days. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 78.
This summer, 5090 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct on WGBW. WMBX.
They paved paradise, put up a parking lot. A pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paved paradise, put up a parking lot.
Bad mood? No problem. Cue up a little. That's Joni Mitchell, right? Yeah. Hope I got. Whew. Don't embarrass yourself on live radio and get Miss Mitchell wrong. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Network. Call us, text us, 844-967-2789. I was just talking with our good friend Erica Payne about the tax system. It doesn't work. I mean, right? Doesn't work. We can start with that. It's sort of like the immigration system. Everyone agrees it's totally dysfunctional, yet no one can agree to do anything about it. But it's interesting. I think if you fix the tax code, you might actually be able to get some elected officials to do something about the immigration system problem, because maybe they wouldn't be bought and sold by the billionaire donor class. Perhaps. So I promised you some more lighthearted news. Lighthearted, probably not the right word. I have to be honest with you. Perhaps more, less depressing. It's now just a matter of like least worst. Which one to go with first? So I don't know if you heard about this, but apparently Donald Trump does not know what a blizzard is. Now, this may seem like a trivial matter to you. And yes, I am talking about a DQ blizzard, the place with the dilly bars and the frozen ice cream cakes, ubiquitous throughout the upper Midwest. I mean, you don't know what a blizzard is? It's delicious, crumbled up like Heath bar. That was my jam back in the day. Boy, that was good. What was your favorite blizzard? He didn't know what it was. He was there and he's like, everybody keeps talking about these blizzards. Didn't know what it was. And I read about it on Twitter, and usually I don't talk about stuff that's this sort of infantile and silly. But it really got me thinking, because this is also the guy that like didn't know how to eat pizza. I mean, I always want some question in a debate to always be, how much does a gallon of milk cost? Right? Each person gets asked like a variety of that question. They never know quite what product it might be. I suppose they could start prepping for that. But you get my point. Like, Donald Trump, no idea about normal people things. I mean, I can tell you that much. Joe Biden knows about normal people things. Right? Like, objective question. Who is more likely to know what a gallon of milk costs? It's Joe Biden. Just is. Who's more likely to know what a freaking blizzard is? Answer, Joe Biden. That's just the deal. So I found an article in the Washington Post where a guy actually put together like a statistical analysis to try to figure out. His thought was, boy, shouldn't Donald Trump really know what a blizzard is? Because most people that live where blizzards are a big deal voted red, voted for Republicans. And it's called Can You Win the Midwest Without Knowing About Dairy Queen? Yesterday by a guy named Philip Bump. And it's interesting. Here was his conclusion. Counties with the highest density of stores per resident also voted much more heavily for Trump. Boom. Also, the states other than Illinois, where there are the most DQ locations, are also those that tend to be purple or red. And it's really interesting because Mr. Bump points out, and Texter, I see this. I'm going to get to your text in just a second. What is the Donald Trump hook, right? It's like, oh, all those East Coast elites and those coastal, they don't care anything about you people in flyover country. Well, he doesn't know what a blizzard is. I don't know how much more clearly he can make the point that he might not know much or care much about folks in flyover country. Here's what Philip Bump said. It's a bit like walking into McDonald's and saying that you don't know what a Big Mac is. Yeah, pretty much. It's concerning. Yeah, out of touch. The least of Donald Trump's faults. But I just think it's yet another axis on which you can be like, Joe Biden or Donald Trump. Well, yeah, it's not a hard choice. Okay. A texter says the City of Milwaukee Employee Retirement Service is and has been underfunded for years. As a separate system from the rest of the state, we missed an opportunity to tie in with the state in 2021, but Mayor Barrett said no. So this has been brewing for years. I don't disagree with you. So the City of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County are the only two local jurisdictions in the state that have their own pension. Everybody else is part of the Wisconsin retirement system, which is basically, if not the best public retirement system in the country, one of. I mean, it's right up there. And basically, like, the math didn't work in the pensions. The benefits were too rich and too generous for far too long. And there were fewer and fewer employees because the city had to cut and cut and cut because share revenue was shrinking and shrinking and shrinking on a real dollar basis. So the pension plans became underfunded. And now they have to make these sort of mind-bendingly huge payments. That's how we got here. I would also argue that, you know, getting rid of the residency requirement, a lot of those things have impacted the city and county in a big way. But yeah, the pensions and failing to understand how to fund those, big deal. And let me be clear, but like 2% of current folks that work at the city or the county are beneficiaries that'll get those rich benefits. The rest of us are just working stiffs, you know, worried about my 401k. Yeah, that's me too. Here was the other little bit of good news. Thank you, Texter. Appreciate that. Love it. Wonky in the weeds. That's my thing. All right. Last bit of good news for the day. I am big news. Super happy about this. July 6th, L. Lynn Wood resigns his law license in the state of Georgia, and he also agrees to the following terms. This is an unqualified, irrevocable, and permanent resignation of his license, and he agreed that he could not ever practice law again in any state. Yes, Lynn Wood. Goodbye to you, I say. Good day, sir. I mean, this guy. Oh, Bob Spindell, we're coming for you next. Jim Troupas, you're on the list. I'm Maggie Dawn. It's been another episode of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Network. I'll be back again tomorrow with my good friend Evan Preston. Thanks for listening, everybody.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino.
Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show.
10 to 12,
As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic ABC Media News app.